Okay. So welcome everybody. And for the sake of the recording, let me just repeat what I was just saying, which is that right now we're working with emotion. We've talked a lot about thought, and now we're talking about emotion. And we talked about how underneath these emotions, many, many of our intense emotions is fear. And anxiety being fear, I mean, anxiety is about fear. It comes from fear. That was kind of where we were going to focus on, was fear. And it's a fear response. Anxiety is a fear response. That's the phrasing. But this article that Kelsey sent me, and I finally had a chance to read it this morning, kind of talks about this age-old dilemma of an emotion. What does the emotion trigger the sensations, or does the sensations trigger the emotion, right? Judy, you've heard this, right? And the traditional way they describe it is you see a bear. So when you see the bear, does that create a feeling of fear? And then your body has this heightened response and you run for your life? Or do you see the bear and your body has a response and the emotion of fear follows? Did that make sense? Did I say that clearly enough? Okay. So what meditators have said and is that your body has an event and we put the word fear, the emotion of fear, onto the sensation. So there's a triggering. Let's say the amygdala is triggered, right? And we interpret it as fear. This kind of ties in when we talked a little bit about how another way to look at emotion is as karma firing, not as something. It's simply the karma that you have come in to balance and heal. When that emotion fires, it's actually karma that is stored in your chakras that is firing. And it has only one purpose, and that purpose is to help you find your wholeness, to help you remember who you are. And so these emotions are not bad things. They're messengers. They're messengers to show us where we're out of balance so that we can come back into balance. And when we come into balance, we become more and more centered is the good word, right? And when we become more centered, we live more in the central channel. And when we're living more in the central channel, that sushumna we talked about, we are remembering who we really are. We are remembering. And so we can live from a place of equanimity and much more peace and joy and compassion. So I just always find it fascinating when science and what the meditators say kind of link up in little ways, you know. But here's how to go back to the story of the bear. The article put it in a way that I'd never heard it before. And the author put it this way, that it's a response within the body that we put the label fear on those sensations. Because somebody who might be out for a nice hike and you see a bear, you're terrified and you want to run for your life. Somebody else who grew up hunting sees the bear, and that response is actually an excitement about, oh, okay. And the association is of the skin, the fur, the food that's going to sustain them for a period of time, right? So, and I thought that was just a great example of how our emotions are tied to past associations, to memory. And so just knowing these things, I think, helps us to maybe recognize the importance of the work we do when we sit and we reflect, what is this about? What is this sensation about? What are the memories behind it? And for our purposes, we are learning to go back into those memories and correct any misinformation to in our own way, balance the memories. Is that making sense? A few nods? Okay. So this brings us back to our technique we were learning to make friends with our fear, to befriend. Kriyananda's word was befriend your fear. The other traditions would use a phrase, they use the same thing, but they'll say, have sit down for tea with your fear, which what I really like about that is it implies this is something special. This is something out of the ordinary. This is something that is almost a little ritual. And these internal rituals we do have immense power to heal us and balance us. So, so the technique we talked about, and we did just briefly, was where we set up, I'm going to use the word, a spread, right? Whether yours is tea, whether yours is a special little meal, or it's a special little, it's just coffee with some cookies, that isn't as important as the fact that you have created a special space. Let's actually call it what it is. It's a sacred space to honor the fact that the work that you're doing is sacred work. So there's a sense of preparing and making sure what you have there is something that you can offer your fear to drink, something you can offer to eat, and some treats, a treat. You have these things there. And in the earlier class, what we ran into, one of the people, you know, the way her fear showed up, it was off-putting. And the fear was not really wanting to be there, and she wasn't so sure she wanted the fear to be dealing with it anyways, and wasn't able to offer anything. And so this idea of having it prepared ahead of time gives you a way, if you're having a little resistance to the fear, which you will, there's nothing wrong with that, right? We're doing this very slowly, step by step, kindly, gently. Having a few of these things ready gives you a way to make the offering, even if you're a little unsure yourself. Because the fullness of this technique is not just how you are responding to the fear, but it's what the fear's response is to your gestures, to your gifts, to your questions. And what we want, we know this going in, so I'm not going to pretend it's not so. These are all aspects of you. These are all parts of you that our goal is to integrate. So anything that happens in this, let's call it a meditation, is significant. And it's not to be rejected or resisted or judged. It's there to be listened to and paid attention to. So any resistance you're feeling or discomfort, it's okay. We just notice, we're kind. Any resistance, discomfort, we just notice, we're kind. There are a lot of skills in this technique. But the most important one probably is the ability to accept what comes up without judging it, and to be present without any judgment for your response and the response of whatever is going on in the meditation. Okay, that's a lot of talking. Did it make any sense at all? Any questions about this? Any questions about this?
Karen, do we have to know what the fear is?
No. No, good question, Louise. Absolutely not. All we know is we're afraid, right? And that's why when we invite the fear in, it's kind of, we're noticing, is it a little fear? Is it a big fear? Is it a shriveled fear? Is it a, you know, jolly fear? Is it a depressed fear? We don't know. We're just finding out. And when we ask the question, you know, when we ask the question, what are you, or what are you afraid of? We're open to the answer. And when you can stay open in that way, you actually get answers that might surprise you. And then the other question we can ask in a situation like this is simply, what can I do? What can I do? Ask the fear, what does it need from you? When we did it today, you know, because I always do it along with you guys when I do it. And what I got, the little fear that sat there, was just me as this cute little kid, 8 years old or so, sitting there, hardly fit in the chair. And what are you afraid of? She was afraid of getting beat by my dad. He would hold, not a lot of times. We got spanked a lot, but it wasn't often. He would hold you by one hand and then just whack, whack, whack you, right? And yes, I don't want to be beat by him. And she just ran behind me, ran up my back, right behind my heart. And I said, well, what do you want? She said, don't let him beat me again. And I was like, okay, I won't. And what I realized is that it was nothing in that I sat down to work through, and it was that quick and it was that light. It's like, okay, I won't. But I realized, my dad's 92. And he still has the ability to, not with the belt or the rice paddle or the hairbrush, right? But with his words and his attitudes. And he can still do that. And she was just saying, okay, I'm pretty good, but you know, just make sure that you don't let him in. And I was like, I can do that. So that's a kind of a simplistic little, how it just, we go with what it does. We don't know ahead of time, but little by little, the different parts of you will be heard. Maybe that's what we want. They will be heard. They will reveal themselves, and you will be able to bring them all home and fold them. That was a great question, Louise. Okay. Anybody else? Should we do it? What if we do it? Why don't we, let's, what we'll do is we'll do the meditation. And I think the last two things I'll say about the meditation is to, you know, whatever you did last time, you set up some kind of a space. It's your choice whether to do the same thing again or something new. My tendency is to kind of do the same thing because it's the comfort of the repetition. It's like it becomes more real for me, and it's there for you as we work with fear over the months. And, you know, I mean, I'm 67 and a new little thing just popped up tonight, right? And so it's kind of your choice, but my suggestion would be that you just kind of always have it ready. It's just always there because you never know when it's going to be ready to be invited in and talked to. We don't always need to be sitting in a meditation class or sitting in formal meditation. Sometimes the opportunity to do this is on the fly. You're literally in a situation, right? And how nice to know that that's right there and you can write it in and go, ooh, what's going on? And the more you practice with that, the more available it is to you. I hope that made some sense. It's like you infuse it every time you do the meditation and there's something similar to it. You infuse it with this power, with the energy to heal you, to bring you into balance, to reveal things. Okay. So unless there's another question, let's just do it. Let's practice it. Okay. So let's sit comfortably. Sit comfortably. And Chris, you can do it with your eyes open if you want to. That works. That works. And let's take a moment to become really present right here, right now. And do that by let's first listen to the sounds around us. And then let your attention come to the pressure of your seat, the pressure of your buttocks and your sit bones on your seat. And bringing your attention to the sensation in your feet. Your feet may be flat on the floor. They may be curled up underneath you. And then to the sensation of the breath, feel it cool as it flows in. And as you exhale, notice the change in temperature. Cool as the breath flows in, noticing the change in temperature as you exhale. And let's do it again. Let's come back to sound. But this time, let's not label the sound. Let's not give it any context. Let's practice just hearing sound as a vibration. As if you're hearing it for the very first time. And then let's drop our attention into our seat and feel that sense of pressure and weight. And let's bring our attention to that place of contact where our skin, our clothes are pressing into the chair. And let's see if we can experience that sensation and let go of all story. There's no pants, there's no buttocks, there's no muscles, there's no sit bones, there's no chair, there's no floor. It's just a sensation. And then let's bring our attention to the coolness of the breath as it flows into the nostrils. And what if we let go of all context and all story here? It's not breath, it's not nostrils, it's just a sensation. And what if we let go of any thought that there are edges to the nostrils, there are edges to this breath, and it's literally a sensation without boundaries or edges? Right here, right now, this is the sensation. And now, with your next inhale, just bring it deep into the belly. Let it expand up into the chest. And as you hold the top, just stay soft. And then exhale through your mouth, softening from your crown down through your face, your neck, your shoulders. And inhaling, keeping the inhale soft and gentle. With your next exhale, exhale through the mouth. Soften again the head, the neck, the shoulders, the arms, the torso. And then let's do one more, each of us, keeping that nice, gentle three-part inhale. As you exhale, soften from your crown all the way down into your palms, into your seat, into your feet. And then bring your attention up into that screen of your mind and imagine and sense that you are preparing this tea, this special meal, this special moment. And you are preparing it with care. And you are making sure to have a beverage, maybe a little snack to eat, and maybe even a little treat. And remember, it's not so important that you can visualize every detail so much as that you can sense what you're doing and that you feel a sense of making this a special moment. As if you're inviting a very, very precious and special guest to be with you. And then when you've got that, finish putting in the last little touches. Invite your fear to join you. And as your fear arrives, or if it isn't necessarily your fear, if you don't even, you're really not even sure you want to know the fear, if you're just trying to invite your resistance to fear, that's fine too. But invite something in to join you. And notice what age it is. Notice its size. Sense the expression on its face. Is it nervous? Is it jolly? Is it shy? Is it extroverted? Notice how it's sitting. Is it sitting very, very carefully and contained, or is it sprawled comfortably? And then as you look at this fear, as you welcome it in, greet it in some way. Let it know that it's welcome, that you're glad it's here, and offer it something to drink and notice what it does. And then if you want to offer it the little snack you prepared, offer it the snack. And once again, notice how you're responding and notice how it's responding to your offering of your gift. And then when it feels right, ask it a question. Ask it what you want to know. And if you're struggling to find the words, a question like, what are you afraid of? Or what is it you would like to tell me? And wait for the answer. It probably won't be in English. You will sense it though. And noticing your response, engage with the fear in a way that feels safe to you. And maybe even asking, what can I do to help? And then at some point, offer your fear the treat, a special treat. and thank it for showing up and thank it for being willing to sit with you. And if you're doing this on your own, you know, it doesn't take a long time, but you may have a little more engagement that feels right. You will know, you will follow the direction of the meditation. But for now, let your fear know that this is enough for today. That you're very, very grateful it came and showed up. And let it know that you do need to go now, but that you will be back. You will be back. You want to get to know it better, to understand it. And at this point, it's important for you to follow what feels right for you. Does it feel right for you to leave your fear here with the little treats that you've prepared, and you gently take your leave? Or is it feel right for you to stay and just let your fear dissolve? Just let it either leave or dissolve, and you stay. But the intention is that you will be back, that you're grateful for whatever insight or interaction you've shared. And let's each of us just take a few moments now to just sit with and be with. Don't analyze, just be with the sensations, the feelings that came, that arose during the meditation. And we can analyze later in a few minutes. Right now, just be present with yourself. Present with the sensations and the feelings. Now, for a moment, just gently turn your palms upwards on your lap and bring your attention, without losing touch with what you've just been experiencing, just in addition to that, bring your attention to the palms of your hands and just allow the palms, the center of the palms, to what we call just activate. You may feel a little tingling or a little warm or just a gentle sensation. And then gently bring the right palm and place it at the very center of your chest, right over your sternum. And then gently take the left hand and place it up top of the right. And feel the gentle pressure and the touch of your hand on your chest and your other hand holding your other hand. And see if you can allow yourself to soften into a place of tenderness and affection and kindness. For the work you've just done, for the feelings you're experiencing. And join me now, and let's just do the loving kindness blessing for yourself. And just repeat after me. May I be at ease. May I feel safe and protected. May I be happy. May I be whole. May I feel loving kindness for myself. May I be filled with loving kindness for myself. And may I hold myself with loving kindness so that I may be at peace. And allow yourself to just enjoy that for a few moments, to accept it and enjoy it. And then whenever you're ready, and you don't have to do it right this moment, just gently inhale in a sense of just enjoying whatever kindness you felt towards yourself. And as you exhale, you can gently release your hands. Coming back into this moment right here, right now. Right here, right now. So this can be a little tender, right? And and probably a very different experience for each one of you. But what I'd like to do is open it up for anybody who'd like to share or comments or questions about what we just experienced. The last group, I gave them the option to break into small groups to share, and none of them wanted it. They all prefer to stay in the big groups. So I'm going to assume, maybe wrongfully, that might work better for this group too. But so, is there anybody who'd be willing to share what they experienced?
I'll just share, even though it's a little late. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I guess you know, sort of the backstory of what all of this sort of past has been. So it's a little bit, for me, it's kind of like this cauldron periodically just gets going. Of things that have sort of been dislodged over the course of this last long period. It wasn't just one fear. I just kind of tried to name each one and kind of let it in. And it was very random. And it was very not non-specific, I guess, in a way, but I just kind of let stuff come in, and you know, the stuff that invariably will, you know, lodge itself in my gut. I mean, that's where it show up, and when it's cauldrony, it'll just continue. Well, there'll be a variety of things cauldroning with the sensation in the gut. So I guess that's all, that's what I did.
So when you invited them in, did you invite them into your gut or into the table or the tea, whatever you'd prepared for them?
No, I had the mind, I had some kind of environment that I was letting them into. It wasn't the gut, it was.
And they came,
Yeah.
And did they, I have this image, Steve, right now of just a bunch of little cats and kids just jumping around. You know, it's like, did they talk to you or were they?
They didn't really talk. I mean, they're more like gremlins, you know, and some of them are they have developed more force over the you know, whatever. There's more force to them than I ever would have anticipated.
Okay.
So they're gremlin-y, but I don't really know what they ultimately look like. But in the end, when I just kind of randomly let them in, they seemed overall less threatening.
Okay. See, do we just love how every person's is going to be different and unique? And we want to show up for that. Because what you all don't know, but I know, is Steve is a Gemini. So this makes so much sense that this is what came for him, right? But Steve, so I have one last question. Did you offer them a drink, a treat, or anything like that? And if so, what did they do?
I didn't get that far in terms of an actual physical offering. I think it was only as far as maybe just, you know, sort of some slight engagement, trying to say hi or something, but I didn't get as far as an offering. So.
Okay, perfect then. And we're not rushing it. We're not rushing it. This is big. They showed up. They showed up. So well done. Well done. And I just want all of you to understand, this is how we do it. Just little bits at a time. Little bits at a time. I've done these where it's taken, say, quite a while for it to actually just even turn around. I was offering it and turn around and just even acknowledge I was there, right? But we just keep showing up with kindness. We keep showing up. It's the fact that we continue to show up is part of the magic of the healing, right? We're not running away anymore. Even if it does, if it's, we're not giving up. We want to integrate. We want. And so we go slow. We go kind. We go gentle. So thank you, Steve. That was actually really helpful. Thank you. Anybody else? I think I saw Judy. Were you about to say something too?
It was interesting. As I started, fear only got these little teeny playhouse teacups. Like you have with little kids when you play tea time.
Yeah.
And then, so that was initially, and then it developed into now it's time for dessert. And oh, by this point, you can get a big brownie, like a real size brownie. So it was interesting. And I connected it to the past and then the present. So it was very interesting.
As in the teacup little being passed and the brownie being present? Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Timeline.
Did it talk to you at all? Or in its own way, it was willing to interact?
Looking around.
Okay.
Looking around.
Okay. But it stayed and it looked around.
Mm-hmm. And it started. Okay. It changed size. It was big, got small, and then got regular size. Like okay. Person size.
Okay. So nice. All right. Okay. And here's what we want to do, right? When these things is. Don't overanalyze it.
No.
Don't overanalyze it, right? I mean, we can't help. There's some. But let it be a more of an insight. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of thinking about it and then insight will come, right? And the fact that it shows up is in itself a big first step. Because think about it. Just because you invite it doesn't mean it wants to trust you.
No.
Or it's willing to show. So if it just, even it showing up, that's a victory. And I'm for the recording, I think I'll just say, if it doesn't show up, then what we do is we keep showing up and we make another little offering. We say, okay, maybe it wants, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. Maybe it doesn't want my little cucumber sandwiches. Maybe it wants, you know, Thai food. And we keep trying until we can find a way to bring it in. So thank you, Judy. Okay.
Yes. It was astounding to me how much the fear now is connected to the past. That was kind of what I felt in that. It was like, wow.
Isn't that what we've learned? Mm-hmm. That's what we've learned, right? It's anxiety is a fear response and it's not about the present. It's about the past. And like they were talking about the bear, if your memory is of hunting, then it's a good memory. But for us, if we're having anxiety, it's tied to a memory that is not a pleasant memory. It is a not being in control memory. It is something bad happening memory, right? And so it's a beautiful insight. It's right on. Thank you. Somebody else? Julie, yes.
I thought it was really interesting that right before you said offer it a treat, I was having this conversation. I was like, I don't want to offer you a treat. Like I can barely, you know, I've been trying to get you to go away for a long time. And so I was like, well, you can have some water. Start with some water. It was interesting because then, you know, we're like, okay, what does the fear want? And I felt like, or what is the fear afraid of? And mine is it's afraid of taking over the world. Like being this sort of bull in the china shop or like in a superhero movie where it just sort of like grows, but it doesn't want to grow. And so it didn't want me to feed it anymore because like I've been feeding it garbage. So it was just a really interesting like conversation right around when you're like offered a treat. And I was like, well, that actually wasn't the right thing.
No. And so what did you do? You didn't offer it then, right?
No, just some water.
You want one. Yeah. And so maybe you offer it something else, right? I mean, it doesn't want to be fed anymore. Maybe it just wants to be heard. I mean, what does it want? That's the next, right? The next level of insight. Nice.
Well, and it's fascinating that, you know, when you think about it, it doesn't want to grow. You know, nobody wants to be destroy everything in the kitchen in a sense. Everybody wants to just, you know, be your own size.
Well, let's be clear. Your fear doesn't want to grow and big. I had a fear that would have happily grown as big as a kitchen and destroyed everything, right? Rather than.
Well, it frequently does.
But what a sweet insight. How did you respond when, or what was the feeling you got when you realized it didn't want to grow? How did that feel for you?
We had something in common.
Oh. And what was that like to recognize or realize that?
Well, I don't know yet.
Wow. And do you see how you're just, wow. That's what we do with those moments. We sit with them. And we don't go up here. We literally do exactly what you're doing right now. You just sit with that feeling of, whoa, we have a lot in common. And we digest that. We digest that. Because it's unexpected, huh? Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share about that? Or?
I don't think so.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Julie. Anybody else? Anishka, yeah.
When I listened to Julie, what she just said about, you said having, you have a lot in common with your fear. Is that what I heard? Mm-hmm. When I was trying to imagine what it showed up was as a little girl with two ponytails sitting on a chair, shy and afraid and scared. And I thought, well, you feel just like me. So, I don't know. It felt very, I could not tell whether it's me. I don't know whether it's the fear or it's me. I guess the fear is me. So I had a hard time not identifying with it somehow, or really like, yes, like it's me. I don't know.
So the important moment though, right, is when you saw the little girl with the pigtails who was shy and scared, what arose in you with when you saw that? Sadness?
Mm-hmm. Sadness.
Did you want to interact with her in any way, or were you just kind of over, the sadness was predominant?
Well, I guess the sadness was predominant, but I still wanted to kind of be there for her, but I felt helpless.
Ah, okay. Beautiful. That's all you need, right? So first time in or second time in, there she is. And you wanted to help her, but you felt helpless. Mm. Can you just sit with that? That's all that's needed. Just be with that. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to solve it. Just be with that feeling.
That's not easy. I do want to fix it and be done. Now.
Yeah, you and Natalie, right? Yeah, let's fix it. Yeah. Let's be done. Come on, Mom. Yeah. This is one of the skills it's helping us learn is to just be with it. It wants your attention.
Thank you. This is helpful to hear it.
Yeah. We rush so much to fix, you know, and to move on. And it's this, no, just be with it. Notice what it's like. And let me give you a little hint here. The first time one of my teachers said to me, well, Karen, what was that like? And I started to blah, 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 blah. And she goes, oh, let's just be with that for a minute. And I was like, what, be with it? Beed with it. And I realized being with it doesn't mean you have to be for 20 minutes. Okay. You can be with it for a minute and that's enough. And I think sometimes we think be with it means I have to be with it for the rest of my life for hours and hours. It's no. All it wants is your attention. 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. If more is needed, you'll know, you know. So that might help. Is you know, yeah. But being with it when you're with it, just being there, it's like we just stop for a moment and there we are.
Thank you.
It's yeah. This is great, you know, as I say so often, there's no way to say all of it. And so these questions, these things that you share help to bring out little more pieces of the teaching. So thank you, Agnieszka. So maybe one more, or even a question or comment if you'd rather not share anything. Then let's do this. Let's take us out with a gentle meditation to help us feel some kindness and gentleness. Okay? So we're not going to run away from this feeling. We're going to allow it to be there and we'll just bring in something else. How's that sound? So what I'm going to ask you to do is to find your seat. And then I'm going to ask you to take a nice deep breath. And as you exhale, to soften from your crown down into your seat. And to just gently do the mudra we learned at the very beginning, where you hold your index finger gently in your other hand. And really, it's not a gripping. It's just a gentle surrounding that index finger, which is fear, with the warmth and the comfort of your other hand. And as you hold it, let's just breathe. Just breathing gentle, easy. But all your awareness is inside that hand that is encircling the finger. And allowing yourself to soften enough to become aware of the pulsing of your heartbeat. In that finger. And the breath is gentle and rhythmic. The arms are soft, no tension in the body, the jaw, the hands. And there's just a very gentle sense of comfort. Comfort surrounding your heart, your heartbeat. A sense of you showing up right here, right now. And then very gently release the hand and once again sit with the palms up. Backs of the hands resting gently on your lap. And let the breath remain nice and rhythmic and gentle, even as you bring your attention to the very center of your palms. And then bring into the center of your heart the feeling of your heart smiling. So think of someone who makes your heart smile. And let's let that sensation flood the heart center. Thinking of that someone, person or pet, who makes your heart smile effortlessly. And we let the rhythmic breath feed that feeling. Inhaling, the feeling grows. Exhaling, we soften and allow that feeling to flow through our whole body. And then we release the thought of the person and we rest with the feeling. Can you feel the feeling? And you feel the heart smiling, that sensation. And then gently bring your right hand, place it on your sternum, very center of your chest. Bring your left hand on top of the right and take a moment to enjoy the touch, the tenderness, the affection in this touch. And with the feeling, that sensation of the open heart, let's close tonight's meditation by sending the loving kindness blessing to all beings who have felt what you are feeling, who are feeling what you feel. And sending sincere wish for them to be free of the suffering. Let's repeat after me as we say, may all beings be at ease. May they feel safe and protected. May they be happy. May they be whole. May they feel loving kindness for themselves. May they be filled with loving kindness for themselves. And may they hold themselves with loving kindness that they may be at peace. And with that full-hearted blessing, that full-hearted wish, let's inhale. As we exhale, let's release our hands. And hopefully your heart is full. Hopefully your heart is full. And look at what we did. Look at what we did. Look at the journey, all the sensations we've traveled through. We did it all with our thoughts. We did it all with our thoughts. You can do this. You will do this. You will gain control of your thoughts and you will choose the thoughts that bring you wholeness and happiness and joy. All right. Good night, beautiful ones. I guess I will see you Saturday. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Karen.
Good night, Ramon. Good night, Judy. Good night, Anjeshka. Good night, Chris.
Take care.
Good night, Steve. Good night, Louise.
Thanks.
Good night, Nat.